Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible.
And we're live.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Jeff just got a crown.
Jeff did just get a crown.
A crown.
I think he's going to join us late. He might come in mid-episode.
Yeah, he should come in.
We'll see.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff, we invited him to join us, and he forgot. I don't know why you would forget this, but forgot he had a dentist appointment.
Yeah.
And usually I wake up with anticipation, can't wait to go to those. But and then they gave him a golden crown.
Oh.
Probably not golden, but
I thought it was
probably no
diadem crown. I was thinking the unfading crown of
casting down a different kind of golden crown.
No, that one's coming, but he hasn't got that yet, I don't think.
No, something to do with his teeth. So anyway, he might pop in, he might not. So
if I forget about a dentist appointment, I cancel it. No problem.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a good reason to cancel it.
Like, yeah,
if I double book, it's like, I'm sorry, dentist.
Yeah, the other thing's more important, whatever.
Absolutely.
The other thing is.
No matter what it is, it's more important.
So how's your week been, David?
Look at how far Terry is, dude. He's scooted all the way away from me, bro.
You do sound like you're, disgusting.
I don't feel good.
Yeah, you don't sound great.
I don't feel good, but.
But you're here.
Yeah, it's just, I'm a generous person, so.
Yeah.
Whenever I get something, I like to share it.
Oh. Nice.
I saw you in Lapine on Sunday, too, which when you're sick as a pastor and you've prepared a sermon and nobody else has, you kind of have to go. But usually somebody comes and puts their hand on us and prays with us before we get up to preach.
Yeah, Mike's 8 feet away.
Mike was over
10
there.
10 feet away from you. It was kind of awesome.
I try to tell everyone, like, immediately when church started, like, don't come close to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's some people that just don't care. They're like, I'm giving you a hug. I don't care. And it's like, all right.
Yep.
It's on you.
Yep.
No, I would have hated to unload Sunday morning on him that late. So.
Well, hopefully you're on the mend and you do just still sound kind of, well, gross.
I feel better today than I did yesterday.
That's good.
Yeah. On the mend.
So the trajectory is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's what counts.
All these light and momentary afflictions are, they're gaining for us.
Well, like when I was talking to Dave on the phone yesterday, that's kind of what I was telling him, like, I'd rather, because he was like, I'm sorry, man, it's like, I'd rather have this than what you got, bro. Like, this is going to be over in a few days. Like, you're having to deal with this thing, you know. So
yeah,
sorry, we were just talking about Schaefer. Yeah, praying for that guy.
Yeah, I don't think he tunes in, so
I don't think he does. Who cares?
Oh well.
Forget him.
Never mind, no prayers for you.
How are you, Terry Hickman?
You know, I hesitate to say I'm fine because it's never the case, but I'm getting along okay. Yeah.
Never the case.
Well, never the case that, you know, that you because you just kind of ramble kind of from one thing in life to another one. But, you know, if you're experiencing God's grace, and I don't mean that in any super spiritual way other than, you know, God has chosen, like right now, for there not to be a lot of things going on. Today is the launch, too, I should mention, of the kids' Bible class.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
it's about to happen.
We have a bunch of new kids signed up. The volunteers are great. We've even got a couple more than we had last year. And so I really appreciate prayer about that. One thing in particular about that I encourage people to pray about, since our discussion today is about prayer, is last year, and I'm not sure how it happened, but it did happen. We had 23 kids signed up, and towards the end of the year, we had like 8 coming. And it wasn't because the lessons weren't good, the kids weren't engaged, it wasn't because they weren't enjoying it, but there was a culture there that developed somehow where the kids every week would make a game day decision. Am I coming or am I not coming? You know, and, do I want to go to recess or do I want to?
I think their parents do the same thing.
Yeah,
church on Sundays.
Yeah. Just, you know, Kerry Thompson pointed that out to me and I was just, I went, duh, yes, okay. But anyway, just pray that there's a different, I don't know, what do you call it, spirit about it and a different culture this year that the kids really come and want to be committed and, you know, that kind of thing. Because I saw that happen last year and I didn't know what to do about it. And I just, you know, so just praying that it doesn't happen this year. So
yeah.
Is this still happening during lunch hour?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
If it's pizza day, then they won't come. And
well, no, they get their lunches and bring them with.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, yeah, cool. that wasn't it. I think it was mostly because of missing, recess. And then of course the other thing is for the Christian kids to realize that they kind of are the bridge to, their lost classmates that, you know, don't come to church, that don't hear the gospel, that, you know, don't know, anything about the Bible or about Jesus. And so, and for them to realize that it really is important. I know that's kind of a heavy thing to lay on young kids, but it's nonetheless true.
It's kind of cool too, to be that young and have an evangelistic reality.
Yep.
That's kind of neat.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there is a chance that somewhere around 11 o'clock today, it's going to get loud on our podcast because the kids are coming in the building.
Let's hope so.
And we might still be going. The building's going to get loud. I'm just saying if you hear stuff.
We're never.
We might be overrun
since
here.
Since Terry's been doing it, we've never been going past 11.
Well, the reason I'm pointing this out, David, is for the opposite reason, is that in case we're still going and it gets loud, that's what's happening.
It's a likely event of a water landing. Yeah. So,
on that note.
It's still lunchtime.
Right.
But it is starting at 11. The kids are going to come here at 11:25 instead of 11:10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
11:10. So 11:10, 12:10, 11:25 to 12:25. So,
Sweet. So
we have a little bit of, dead space? What would you call that?
Buffer.
Yeah, a little buffer. Buffer. Thank
that's
you.
A
that's
good
a
word. Buffer.
That's a buffer.
Yeah, he's a buffer.
Much better.
Yeah, he's a buffer. Sorry. I don't know how to do that well, but I like it.
I understood the reference.
All right, good.
So that's good.
Yeah, so our episodes have been a little bit longer during this series, but good, vibrant, and healthy, lively discussion, whatever other adjectives you want to throw in there. And we've actually gotten lots of great feedback, from the discussion. The questions that you put together, Terry, have been really good and I think really beneficial to the people. So,
yeah, well,
thanks for doing this.
That's the it's my pleasure. And I think it really is good to focus on these things because they're focusable things, right? You know, the things that make for a healthy church. And, you know, according to these guys, it's 9 marks. I would ask, have you guys given much thought as to where we're going later after this?
We've got some ideas.
Yeah.
Okay. But my question is, as we start, like if sacraments are an assumed component to a healthy church, why is prayer not an assumed component?
Well, it is.
Well, they're not focusing on sacraments, but they are putting prayer in there. So if they're all assumed, why is this one in there and the other ones aren't?
That was my question to you.
Yeah.
Terry
suggested that we continue this with the sacraments afterwards, but I know you've been waiting. We've been waiting to do a couple other things too. So to be continued, we'll figure it out. But
okay. So, stay tuned.
Stay tuned to find out.
Yeah. We might just keep adding marks, right? I mean, there's a couple other little rabbit trails, I think, that we would like to take that are in the hopper, but we could keep adding marks of healthiness, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll do that. All right, let's go. So we can be done by 11.
Ish.
Yeah, done-ish by 11. Well, so this week's mark, if you will, of a healthy church is prayer. And that's kind of I don't know, maybe one of those kind of duh ones, right? I just want to read what 9 Mark says about prayer because they have a way of condensing things and putting them down in pretty simple terms. And then we'll kind of launch from there, but they say this about prayer. Many wrongly think of prayer as being a kind of a mystical energy or religious ritual. But prayer is simply talking to God. It can include praising God, confessing sin, asking for needs, and even lamenting the brokenness of the world. In the Bible, individual Christians and churches are commanded to pray because God really listens and responds to the prayers of his people. So, my opening question was kind of this. Often prayer is preached or discussed in the following manner. We should all pray more. Now on to the next topic. And is that a fair characteristic of the way that we kind of think about prayer, is that it's just one of these areas that I'm hugely deficit in, I should do more, and that's kind of the end of the thing.
What was Mr.
Is that fair or not fair?
We used to have a guy that this was his wheelhouse. That was his soapbox, because it was kind of his like gifting, like his passion. Like this guy was just like he was just an interceder, you know what I mean? So every time it would be his turn to get up to the pulpit and preach, because we had a rotation, he preached on prayer like pretty much every time he went up. And it was like the same thing, like try harder, do, but why aren't you guys like me type of thing. Okay. And I can't remember what his main, like if it was like, hey, pray more, but I can't remember what he would emphasize, I guess.
It's what he saw as the, you know, like,
this is head and shoulders
above
everything.
The most important thing that we should be involved in. Yeah.
When you have a hammer.
Yeah, everything
looks like so it's pretty much like pray more, pray more, pray more, pray longer, pray longer, pray longer.
Yeah. So that's a variation, really, isn't it, of the we all should pray more. It's just that we all should pray more like I do.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just a variation of the same thing, right?
No, he was on the poster.
Okay, so while praying more really is the bottom line, why is it important that we learn more about prayer than that we should just do it more?
Well, I think how we approach God in prayer matters. I think people's frustration sometimes is like, oh, I prayed for this thing and it didn't, what I wanted to happen didn't happen. And then if that happens over and over and over again and your thing doesn't happen, then you think, oh, God doesn't hear me, or God's not listening to me, or there's something wrong with me. Anyway, you kind of get demotivated to pray because you start maybe with a wrong kind of presupposition about
what prayer is
and how to approach it.
So the preload can be wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw a good quote from E.M. Bounds, who knows a thing or two about
prayer.
He said, prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. And I thought it was cool to think of it that way, because I think very often we think of it more as a chore or a checkbox maybe. And so kind of learning that this is this beautiful thing that we get, this privilege we get to commune with our God. Because it is talking to God, but in some way, and don't get weird with this, but in some way it's also listening.
Hang on. Are you looking at me and saying
no? You're the two guys I could see right now. You know, people, when they hear, they say God spoke to me or God talked to me. I get very uncomfortable with that, because I don't think that's what they mean. I don't think they're hearing the audible voice of God. But I know that when we pray, there's this time where you're still before the Lord and you listen, and he kind of, you know, I think through his Spirit directs you to things that you need to pay attention to and need to work on and need to confess and need to open up.
Yep,
so agreed. So this beautiful communion, I think the same thing happens through the Word, where we commune with God through the Word. You know, we're reading, we're taking it in. It's this relationship thing. And I don't think we think of it that way. So
yeah. But, you know, to combine those two thoughts, you have this beautiful communion with God that is a privilege, right, that we have. And yet, as Chad was saying, you know, there are difficulties.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you don't just kind of, it doesn't seem like you just kind of waltz into this. So maybe some honest admissions about the difficulties inherent to prayer would help. So, and the first one that I put, and you can agree, disagree, or comment on it.
Agree.
Is that prayer is mysterious.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. So why is that, would that be
a
difficulty? In what ways is it mysterious, and why would that be a difficulty? Because, you know, the statement said that it is, prayer is mysterious.
So I don't know if this goes along the lines of what you're getting at, but
I want to go along your lines, not along mine.
Mine are weird. Okay. So here's my weird line with this. Prayer is probably one of the most challenging concepts to me in the entire Bible. Because of this, I guess we could call it a mystery. God already knows my thoughts, right?
Right.
Why do I need to sit around and spend time unpacking them? You know what I mean? And so, like, they're both there, right? The communication component that you do not have because you do not ask, like, that's clear in Scripture, as well as the fact that he knows the desires of my heart, whether I utter a word or not. Mm-hmm. It is so, like, profoundly mysterious that somehow, like, both those things coexist. Right. That's, like, harder than the Trinity to me. It seriously is.
Yeah, I wrote that the intersection of a sovereign God and an imperfect people joining together into this thing, knowing that God's immutable, he doesn't change, and yet our prayers matter and seem to affect things. It's like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a major mystery.
Right. He doesn't need our prayers, but he wants them, and he uses them. And,
yeah.
And
I would submit that they're more for our benefit than his.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That like we learn something when we approach prayer the right way, right? Uh-huh. It affects us because, to your point, we're like, how do you pray to a sovereign God? How do you pray to the God that created everything, that orders everything, that controls everything, that sees everything, that knows everything, that hears everything? It's silly for me to try to direct him in how to run his affairs better, right? Yet that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't make sense. Yet at the same time, I know from my own experience when I pray, like, I'm changed. Something happens in me when I take time to commune with God.
Okay.
So this is a good question. This is actually brings up maybe something even controversial, because I totally agree that prayer is fundamentally more for us than obviously the God of the universe. However, like, there's scriptures and examples where it seems like he uses those sometimes to do what he does.
Right.
Like that. I just don't get it.
Well, again, we're also dealing with a God who's outside of space and time, who knows the end from the beginning.
He's playing 3D chess.
So, there's going to be times when it appears that way.
Totally.
And yet, if he ordains all things that come to pass, then even that's ordained, which is mine, it's mind twisty.
So what do you guys think when James says what he says? You have not because you ask not. Like what would be like a basic
you started in the middle of this thing.
You know what? Let's scrap that. Let's just keep going. Oh. Let's go. Let's run on your rails here.
James is telling us to name it and claim it.
That was
sarcasm. Okay. If you didn't pick that up on the podcast. Wow.
Someone has it. Someone thinks so.
So can we say that in more ways than one, that prayer is a paradox?
It's a mystery. Yes, paradox.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, a paradox being something that seems to be contradictory, but it really isn't.
It's a tension. Yeah.
It is the tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of biblical tensions. That's one of them.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that, the honest engine way that you put that was that, why should I sit around and spend my time telling God, these things that he already knows? He already knows everything about my heart, things that I don't even know about myself. Right. And yet I'm supposed to
dedicate time to this.
Yeah. So that's a really honest engine question. I mean, it really is.
Well,
so,
especially because I'm a man too. So like I like communicating with my wife and my marriage through without words. And right. So I do that much more with a sovereign God, right? Sure. Where it's like, well, why use words?
Yeah. Cause he's in your head already.
Yeah. I'm not a good communicator. So I don't want to spend a bunch of time communicating right now.
Okay, so I think it's because of this that we can't solve that this mysterious element of prayer is an obstacle to prayer. But what would you say about, if this is a paradox? I mean, do we just continue to just stumble over it, or can we just accept it and go on, or what?
There's a component of faith. And not in the name it and claim it kind of way, but faith in that, like, we depend upon God for our very being, right? For our next breath, we depend upon God. And so when we approach prayer with that kind of a mindset, and even just thinking of the relationship between, a father and a child, mm-hmm. right? When we approach things in that way, prayer takes on more meaning, because even though it might be silly for me to try to direct his affairs, like, I'm coming to him out of faith and out of some level of dependence. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why pray?
Sure. Sure.
Well, that's the other ditch you run into, is fatalism, this idea that if God's done it, if all this has worked out and he knows the beginning from the end and everything's ordained, why pray at all? It doesn't matter.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think there's people that do that.
Well, but there's just this, there's many obstacles that this presents, this mystery. But let me turn the question around and ask that: how could this same mystery about God encourage us to pray. And to tee that up a little bit, I'll say something roughly, quote something that R.C. Sproul said. Somebody asked him one time, well, why do you pray if God is in sovereign control of everything all the time and knows everything already? And his answer was, if he didn't, and he didn't know everything, and he wasn't sovereign, why would I pray to him?
Right.
So in what way could this same mystery actually encourage us to pray?
I think the mystery brings a humility, okay, right? That it isn't my job to direct his affairs.
Yeah.
Even though I have, you know, things that I would like to see happen or desired outcomes for this circumstance or that circumstance, there's a humility in even asking God if he would do these things, knowing that his ways are higher than my ways and that he sees things I don't see and he knows things I don't know. And so even though, yeah, I hope for this, like submitting to God's will, if it doesn't go the way that I hope it does, it just brings a humility in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that you are able to approach, or well, you're invited, commanded, encouraged,
yeah,
to come to the King of the universe, and he, in so many words, stops and listens. I mean, that's humbling.
It's remarkable.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Tim Keller has a quote that I'll probably butcher, but something to the effect of, you know, who has the audacity to ask a king for a cup of water at 3 o'clock in the morning? Yeah. And the answer is a child.
Yeah.
And he says, we have that kind of access.
Yeah.
You butchered that.
That was pretty good.
It wasn't a verbatim quote of Keller's.
I'm just kidding. You got the gist.
Got the idea.
Okay. So prayer is work. You know, Colossians 4 talks about Epaphras, Paul writing about Epaphras and him laboring for them in prayer. So in what sense is prayer work?
I already said it. Like to me, communication is like work. I know that sounds like completely ridiculous. You guys can judge me. I really don't care. Like talking is work to me. I'm like, seriously, if I could go like for days without talking, I would do it. Right.
I think it's a discipline for sure, but I think we make it work. I think we do the same thing with everything. We make Bible reading work. We make discipleship work. We make prayer work, which, you know, again, the Bible says pray without ceasing.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
You just interrupted me right in the middle of a really deep thought.
Right.
Look, we got you a new gizmo. I hope that's better so you can put your stuff out there. If not,
you have a crane.
Yeah.
What'd I miss?
We're talking about prayer. So he was asking why prayer is work.
Yeah, why is
about how bad of a person I am.
Anyway, the point I'm getting at as far as we don't have to make prayer work. So when prayer is just this natural thing that goes on throughout the day, these, you know, I mean, somebody's called them popcorn prayers or whatever sometime where you're going through the day and you're talking to God and you're, you know, situation's coming up, you're ready to walk into a meeting, you throw up a quick prayer to God, you're just in this kind of constant communion. That's not work. That's just getting through your daily life.
So what if they're not even popcorn prayers? Like, I get what you're saying, but yeah. What if there's a constant sense of his presence?
His presence, yeah.
And your thoughts and everything that's going, maybe I'm the only, I'm the weirdo that does that. And I think it's, to me, I just think, how can a Christian not do that? That right. You're always mindful of the presence of God in every thought that you're having. And so there's this constant open, you know, spiritual, mysterious thing that's going on continually.
Would you say organic?
Because yes, because a lot of times what you hear from prayer people is it has to look like you're on your knees beside your bed. If you're not, you're not really praying. Sure. You're really not dedicating anything. Where the praying without ceasing thing, I don't know how you can't when you're spirit filled and you're always mindful of the presence of God, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, what you're feeling.
Yep,
agreed. You know what I mean? Okay.
Even in Ephesians, we just looked at that passage in chapter 6. You know, it's just praying continually in the Spirit and. That can mean a couple things. That might just mean, you know, instead of praying out loud, you're praying internally.
It might mean exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, I know that some people put it's capital S, but yeah. I don't know that it is. It might just be saying, you know, we're just always going to be in communion with God. His presence is there. We're aware of it. And so we're always talking to him.
So would
that
be the same as praying?
Well, I think it is. I think when we do this thing where we sit down and say, okay, for 10 minutes, I've got to go through adoration. Mm-hmm. And now for the 10 minutes, I've got to go through confession. And then for, you know. And I'm just like, I just want to get to what I want to ask for. I don't want to go, no, I'm just kidding.
You want to get to supplication.
Yeah, get to supplication. No, that's when we can make it work, just like everything else.
Deliver the goods, right?
We can ruin everything that God gives us.
You're like, I have an open-ended prayer.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I stopped praying.
I think this is something God has given us that's such a blessing, something that's such a wonderful thing, and we turn it into something that's work, sure. You know, something that stinks. We don't even look forward to it because we've ruined it.
Well, I think one of the things, too, that's probably made a bit of a challenge is there's a lot of books out there that talk about the disciplines, spiritual disciplines.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, I think they're helpful by way of prayer, but I think sometimes it can, when you talk about a discipline, it means that it really means it's work. It takes time. I mean, and I think there's an aspect of that where there's an open communication that we have with God. I do think there are times when we do discipline ourselves to pray specifically, yeah. You know, like
sure.
Whether it's for specific situations or
it's usually when our back's against the wall.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I'm in trouble, I pray. Yeah. I make right. time for it.
Jesus, yeah. Take the wheel.
Right.
I'll go to the dentist when my tooth hurts. Yeah.
Jesus is saying, I have the wheel. You let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, we make time for the things that are important to us. That's true of everything in our life, mm. Right? And so, you know, we make time to go to the gym, even though, you know, we sweat and we exert ourselves because we find some value in it, and it's important, and it's a means to an end. And so at the end of the day, for Christians, if prayer is important to you, you're going to make time for it, and you're gonna fight through the laboriousness of it at times, right. And you're going to dedicate time to it if it's something that you find valuable and important and necessary.
Well, and when we think it's effective and it matters too. But yeah. But yeah. I did the thought that there's a Corrie Ten Boom quote, I think, and it's like, is prayer a steering wheel yeah. or a spare tire?
Right. Right.
And I think most people, it's the spare tire mindset.
Totally.
It's like, all right, I need you now, God. I'm in trouble. As opposed to letting it go.
Well,
your
the truth
life.
Is it. Well, it needs to be both, right?
I love that it's a spare tire, too. But it shouldn't only be that.
Yeah.
It's just like we see that when people, you know, we don't see people in church forever, and they get in a situation, their back's against the wall, and they show up,
right.
And they want prayer, and they want, you know.
Well, there's kind of this, even though people might not frame it this way, there's this theological understanding that people have that says, if I do for God, then God will do for me.
That's not right.
Right. and that he owes me, right?
Yeah.
Like I've gone to church for 3 weeks in a row now. God, you owe me, you know, some favor. Or I spent an hour praying and you owe me. I read my Bible this week. You owe me these things. And that's bad thinking. But I think there's a lot of people that, while they wouldn't say that, they do think that way.
Well, and then when
kind
it doesn't
of a default thinking.
Yeah.
Then when it doesn't work out the way they, you know, I did my part.
Fault.
You didn't do your part.
Yeah,
so I'm not doing it anymore.
Right. Which gets to another one of the difficulties about prayer with, you know, not necessarily seeing results, right, in real time. But we'll get to that a little bit later. But, you know, Paul writes about Epaphras laboring in prayers. And I think that's, you know, for them, for the church, that that there are things that, you know, and I think that you guys, if you think about it, all would say that where you know that the kind of the faith and the well-being of your flock is concerned, maybe certain people at certain times and things like that, that you are laboring because you feel like, you know, you sense the need and you're praying for that. And that's kind
yeah,
of
that's more,
directed.
That's more when we're talking about intercessory prayer as opposed to just, you know, like your personal prayer
yeah,
life.
Right.
So I was thinking of the, yeah, there's
okay,
absolutely.
Okay, well, that's a good distinction to make. Yeah,
yeah, there's absolutely a laboring that goes on when we're praying for the people in the church and the situations in the church and the hard things that people are going through. Yeah, you're just, you know, it tears you up in this way
right.
where, you know, and when Paul talked about that, like that constant care he always feels for the church 24/7, that's a real thing.
Okay. Well, so sometimes it can be work. That's one of the things that maybe at times that we're not willing to do. Sometimes we have that notion that it has to be on bended knee by our beds, you know, like that, as opposed to the, you know, constant interaction with God.
Yeah, it can seem super ritualistic sometimes when it doesn't have to be. I think there's a time and a place for that.
Sure.
I think but... whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And maybe corporate prayer.
Luther said to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like that idea of, you know, you go through all day, you don't have to stop and think about breathing.
Well, it's what we were talking about earlier.
No, it's exactly that.
Where there's a constant, like wherever you go, there God is, right?
Yeah.
And the Christian knows that. You can't not know that. It's like breathing.
Yeah. That's what I, yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And C.S. Lewis got to get into. Sorry, I found all
that. That's all right.
I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was excellent.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Like when you were talking about, is prayer hard? All I kept thinking about is like, it's harder not to pray. you know, for me, and I'm not because I'm a spiritual giant or anything, but it's like when I go through the day, I can't imagine not being in continual prayer.
Yeah.
Is that thing that you're describing there where, you feel like you're in constant communication with God as you just go, you know, breath to breath, place to place during the day, is that what makes, brings into reality when Paul encourages believers to pray without ceasing?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we were all on bended knee by our beds
right. all Same the time. Same in Ephesians 6. Mm-hmm. Pray at all times, yeah. you know, in the Spirit. You say praying at all times in the Spirit. That's yeah. all times. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that's in regards to spiritual warfare, you know, which adds a whole other level of, you know, importance. But, yeah, but yeah, all the time.
I think there's a very real sense, just a practical sense where, you know, that there's a habit to be had of praying. It's not just a habit. It's much more than a habit. But kind of the more we do it, the more kind of regular and natural it becomes, just like anything, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the more that we continually pray, the more we continually pray.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we have to recognize, too, that for some people it is a challenge, and it's okay. You gotta, but I think you got to figure out how to work through that, not just say, oh, that's a challenge for me and I don't do anything about it. I think it's an aspect where it's like, yeah, with anything, I think you do it regularly. It becomes a practice. It becomes a habit. It becomes something that just becomes, I think, more natural. And then it is those situations where we're just continually throughout the course of the day and 24-hour period. I mean, even in the middle of the night, I mean, there's times when we wake up and somebody is brought to our mind and and we're to pray for them, right? Because there's something going on.
My prayers aren't as eloquent at those times. But yeah.
It's where the Spirit intercedes, right?
I used to try to pray with joy, like before bed, pretty soon I'm just like,
So let's talk about that, that prayer that is not just that organic, moment by moment during the day kind of thing, but talk about, like, I don't know if the right word is focused prayer or deliberate prayer. But prayer is a constant battle with distraction. And I think we would all agree with that. And I think that that's something that really stumbles and stops people. I heard Alistair Begg one time describe his battle with this, where he gets in his study and closes the door, and you know, you get all ready, and he said that the shade on his window was up and the light was coming through on a side to distract him, and he thought, okay, I'm gonna go take care of that. He went and adjusted the shade or opened or closed or whatever he did like that. And then something else happened, and then something else happened.
A distant dog bark.
It's like, So it can be anything like that. So, of course, as pastors, you guys don't experience any of that.
No. Oh, never.
Right? Not
usually.
No, singular devotion.
Yeah, my prayers are uninterrupted pretty much.
What's that?
My prayers are uninterrupted pretty much. Yeah,
right. I'm praying right now for all you guys.
No, I think that goes back to even to the spiritual warfare kind of thing. Yep. Anytime we're doing something that's important or that's going to benefit us or benefit the kingdom, we're going to have resistance and opposition.
Right.
And so, yeah, you sit down to read your Bible, and all of a sudden, what's weird is you can sit down and look at, you know, the news stories of the day or whatever, and, you know, no interruption. Go to read the Word or pray. Constant interruption.
But
it is something like that, you know, to Jeff's point that you know, we shouldn't give up, and understand that that it's not a failure to be distracted, you know. It is, it's a failure when we give up because of the distraction, because everybody, I mean, even these guys experience that. So if you experience that in your prayers, that doesn't go in the loss column, but it comes recognized as possibly spiritual, you know, warfare or distraction or things like that. But they are things to be overcome and recognize that it's not because you're a failure that you're experiencing.
Well, I think going into it, realizing that there are forces that are trying to stop you from prayer, just realizing that makes you realize, like, okay, it matters because someone's trying to stop me from doing this. And so I've got to be prepared for that and cognizant that there is this battle that I have to engage, mm-hmm. And just have to make time dedicated mm-hmm. to prayer and fight through the distractions.
I try not to beat myself up too much about it, like we're talking about, but I also try to picture it from the other end of the phone line. You know what I mean? Like, this is the God of the universe. He hears everything. And I know that when I'm sitting and having a conversation with somebody that's right in front of me and mm-hmm. they get a phone call mm-hmm. and they answer it, they just crossed the line. You know, you know, like, it's the rudest, like, most disrespectful thing you can do, because you got someone like right in front of you. And so, like, I kind of go there with my own challenges, distraction. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is the God of the universe, and I'm like tripping out on a dog barking, or you know what I mean? Exactly. So, not to like guilt myself or to give up, but to think like this is it's kind of a bigger deal at the same time.
Right.
Then it, like, I don't want to make it a norm. You know what I mean? Yep. That I'm just like, hang on a second, God, I'm going to go over here and like deal with this stupid little thing. You know, I'll be back whenever I get back. Like, I like to think of it that way.
Yeah. But. No, that's helpful. Having, I don't know, paradigms that you set up in your mind like that to help you defend against.
I can't stand when other people do that to me. So, and it's not that he's going to, you know what I mean?
Well,
spank
me
or
something. Like, if you're talking with somebody really important to you, you're probably just going to have your focused attention on that. But I think that's sometimes where we can make, I don't know if we can make prayer too simple, but I think sometimes we forget who we're talking to.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, when we do remember, this is the God of the universe, sovereign over all things, knows all these things. He already knows what's happening in our lives before we come. Yeah. But yet his desire is, as our Father, is to hear from us.
Well, that's the thing with the person, you know what I mean, that's answering that phone. Yeah. Is what they're saying to me is whatever's on the other end of that phone, or whoever's on the other, is way more important than me and what we're talking about right now. And it's like, dang.
Actually, I just think about what you were talking about, thinking about, like, if you were the cost of the phone call. So, like, if you had to pay just a ton of money to call overseas or something like that, there's no way you would interrupt that phone call.
Right.
And it's like, you think about, you know, what the cost for this phone call to be able to happen was Christ on the cross, you know, tearing that veil. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Looking at it that way is really helpful. And to just expand a little bit on what Chad said this last week, about prayer, praying at all times. A friend of mine was in the military in Vietnam, and he was a radio guy, and he had the radio shot off his back twice. And he said that, I looked it up later, and the on the ambush rate, of guys out in the bush was about four times higher for radio men than it was for their average tours in the bush were four times. And the reason was because they get that guy and he can't call in the fast movers, you know, the jets.
Airstrike.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And so, and I know that that's, you know, a little, but it's really true that anything to interrupt that, prayer is that important, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's why, Piper called it the wartime walkie talkie. I think you talked about that. I love that.
Yeah. Piper talks about that.
Wartime walkie talkie is a good way to think of it.
Okay. Yeah. So another thing is that obstacle that I think people experience and struggle with, and I know I do, is that prayer often sees no real time results. Like, we're praying for this particular thing, supplication for, you know, or a situation or something like that, that just doesn't seem to change. You guys ever struggle with that?
No
one's on the other end of the line. Yeah. Because because there was no immediate answer, right? Or response or action.
I think God answers our prayers all the time. I think he just has different answers to it. I mean, I think there are different answers to our prayers.
I think we're asking the wrong questions.
I mean, he said no to Christ, right? When Christ said, if it's possible, let this cup be taken from me. I mean, Jesus saw an immediate answer to that, and it was no, you know. I think sometimes I wonder if it's just not the answer we want.
Totally. Who is it? Is it James again? Who is it that said, know that when we pray that you have what you, or that he has heard, basically, what you've, know that you've been heard. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's a gross, anyway, and that's exactly what it means, is that he always hears our prayers and always answers, whether it's something that we see, like, we can know that, right, because of Christ. And so many times, we'll focus as Christians on something that we do see immediate response in something and go, look, God answered our prayers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be a false presentation.
Sure.
Because it's like, oh, he gave us what we wanted in this case immediately is what
well,
we're saying.
A false
he always answers our prayers.
For your next prayer.
He always right? answers our
and,
prayers.
And
yes.
we're quick to praise God in those moments. Yes. We're not so quick to praise God when an answer right. comes that we're not
yeah.
looking for.
Yeah,
not
he
expecting.
Always hears. He's always right. responding.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is helpful to pile up those Ebenezers, you know, those mm-hmm. answered prayers from the past,
right?
To remember
right.
his faithfulness. Yeah. Because I even think since
I don't
we started,
think it has to be either or though.
No, I agree. Yeah. But I think since we started the door, if we were to just go through our praise and prayer time that we yeah. do, or we have a public time where we pray as a church and think about all the ways God answered yeah, impossible
for
situations,
for sure.
Sometimes right there that day,
for sure.
It's a reminder that God does
right.
answer prayer.
Right. It's just wrong to say though that He did it because this happened.
Yeah.
Because I think we're training our people to look
well,
at prayer.
Well, he doesn't always answer.
Do
I mean, there's been yeah. a lot of things that he hasn't answered the way yeah. we asked him to.
Right.
So both of those things exist. But when we're doubting or wondering if there's anybody on the other end of the line, remembering those times when he did come
oh,
through
right.
is always helpful for me,
of
like
course.
as you know, a reminder of
yeah.
who I have my faith in.
I think, too, I wonder, because I think about that passage that talks about the fact that, you know, how we're to live with our wives in an understanding way, and it talks about so that our prayers will not be hindered. So I think there is times when sin can hinder our prayers mm-hmm. in that sense.
Did you just say our wives are hard to understand?
Yes.
Okay.
But we're supposed to live with
Keep
them
going.
In an understanding way.
Well, and,
but
you
I think,
know.
You know, I think there is that aspect to it, too. So, like, for me, if that's a situation where I've been praying for something and I'm God is continually answering no, or it seems like, then I do want to check my heart and say, okay, God, is there any sin in my life that's you know, hindering my prayers
blocking
and
the sin,
and,
yeah.
and that's blo- I mean, I don't know that it's blocking them. I think God still hears our prayers.
Yeah. I always took that. Maybe I exposited it wrong, but I always thought that it meant with my relationship with my wife as one who should be washing my wife in prayer and praying for her. That if I'm not living
her.
In an understanding way with her, I'm not going to be praying for her and with her the way that I should. But I could be completely wrong. That's a totally different direction.
Well, and you know, I think Psalms says that, you know, if I to your point, Jeff, if I regard sin in my heart, God will not hear, right, my prayer, and that's to but it's still in a way He's answering till we come around. And you said, you know, I ask I begin to ask God, you know, is there sin in my life that's jamming this thing up? That's still an answer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so, I don't want to give the impression at the same time that, okay, I'm going to confess that sin, now God's going to answer that prayer
right,
how I want.
Right.
That's not how it works. I mean.
Right.
Or that there's so much sin in my life continually right. that there's no point in praying because God was never going to ask.
In fact, I'm sure now that I've never heard.
That's what I'm thinking over here.
Yeah, well, but there's the, you know, there's the whole thing of sinning. But there's another thing of regarding, or some of the translations say, if I cherish sin in my heart, you know, God will not hear. So it's kind of some kind of secret sin that I really got my fingernails dug into, right?
I know that if I have something in my life that I'm holding on to or protecting that is not of God, it builds a wall in which it becomes hard to see or access or speak to or approach. Not because He's gone anywhere, but because my sin has built this structure.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not that He's like holding these things against me, but we need to tear those walls down. Right. When we tear the walls of sin down in our lives, there is clear, open, confident communication rather than something that's stifled. Right.
That's good.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah. So Jesus, prayer requires faith to stay on it. Right. To persevere. In Luke 18, Jesus told His disciples that they at all times should pray and not lose heart. And what does this parable, which was about the, you know, unrighteous judge, right? What does this parable reveal about God's attitude about prayer?
Keep seeking,
somebody
keep knocking,
somebody
keep asking.
Chad, you just preached this. You want to just walk us through that parable real quick?
Yeah. So, the gist of the parable is that there was an unrighteous judge who the Bible says didn't fear God or fear man. And there was this widow who kept pestering the judge for this thing. And finally, the judge, as unrighteous as he was, says, I'm going to grant this widow her request so she'll stop bothering me just, you know, for his own benefit, right? And then Jesus goes on to say, how much more would our Heavenly Father, you know, want to hear from His children, you know, those that love Him. And so in the end, like, God is inviting us to commune with him.
To
he's
be
inviting
relentless.
Us to pray. Yeah. He's to inviting pester, us pester to pester prayer. Him about things, right?
Yeah.
And he is righteous, and he does love us. Not like the unrighteous judge who doesn't mm-hmm. care about anybody himself. God cares about his children, and he wants to hear from us.
I can't even get my kids to call me, man. I would love it if they bugged me. You know what I mean? I would love a call every day or multiple calls a day. You know what I mean?
If you're listening, children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, and Jesus brought something else up in this parable about that. So what could losing heart, which he said to pray at all times and not lose heart, what could losing heart with respect to praying look like?
What we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Where there's not a doubt when you yeah, give up on it.
It doesn't seem like it's getting answered, or it's not answered fast enough, or
the right way, or you know, whatever.
But how many times have I heard people say, you know, I was praying for that person for 20 years, and they came to Christ. You know, I mean, it's that persistence of prayer.
And, yeah, my mom's exactly who I think. She was so stubborn and relentless in prayer, like total, you know, inspiration with, when it comes to prayer. Mm-hmm. So committed and so dedicated and just unshakable. Like
There's so many cool stories. There was a story about I can't remember where it was. I think it was a town in maybe in England where they just didn't feel like anything was happening. So they got together and decided as a church they were going to start praying for the least likely candidate for salvation in that town. So they picked some old drunk guy. And like within a week he got saved. So then they went, all right. So they turned up for the next least likely candidate. And it was just like, you know, it's just neat to see the way you know, I think we underestimate prayer a lot in the church sometimes.
Which is part of the mystery, like where we started, that can make a difference or affect.
This is one of the reasons I love our praise and prayer time, as weird as it is at the door, is because you almost set this stage for God to display his power in our midst. Because we ask for these crazy things
in public,
you know, and then we watch him work.
Yeah.
And it's risky as all get out, and it's sometimes it just is a, you know, kind of a failure, and other times it's one of the most beautiful things that we do because we just see God working in our midst in this amazing way. So
I think too, part of how we can help our people is by having things like that, or having times in our services where we do spend time in corporate prayer, whether we're reading a prayer together or we're giving people opportunity to pray out loud. I think that's an important piece of it too, because I think sometimes people think, well, it's got to sound a certain way, or it's got to be like the Puritans, or I don't think God cares. I think he just wants us to talk to him.
So he's not hung up on Elizabethan prose?
No.
I would even argue maybe it's a little distracting for the rest of the room to listen to something like that.
No, yeah, isn't there a parable about that as well?
Yeah.
Once in a while we'll have a...
The Pharisee that sounded all...
Once in a while we'll have a kid or a child pray, you know, during our open mic time. And it's the best every time.
It is.
Right, it's the best every time. It's so sincere
and
pure, and just what needs to be said is said. Yeah. And it's, you know.
Yeah. And it's not like God says, all right, now the adults pray, you know. It's like.
One of the things people need to realize, like you asked Terry about losing heart, like you don't even know what you're missing out on when you don't pray, right? Prayer can be frustrating when things don't go the way you think they ought to go, but you're missing out on so much when you neglect communing with God.
Well, if you're only limited to supplication, and then you're not getting what you ask for. Well, that's part of what prayer is. But if you add the other components in of, like you started out talking about, adoration and confession and you know, thanksgiving, and even just listening, being quiet before the Lord and trying to hear what he wants to point out in your life kind of thing, it changes what prayer is all about and the meaning of it. So,
And even though it is formulaic and is a completely different aspect, really, than the kind of daily moment-to-moment, you know, breath-to-breath prayer that we were talking about before. For somebody that is new to prayer or struggling with it, that's okay to start with an ACTS, to start with some prayers, some psalms that adore God, you know, confession of your sins, thanksgiving.
The Lord's Prayer.
And supplicate, or Lord's Prayer, That's perfect.
I'm a recovering Catholic. I can't do that. Feels weird.
Well, I think there's a sense, too, maybe that's part of the discipline in prayer, is that I think there are times when we want to pray with our Bibles open as well, where we do want... Because oftentimes prayer can be that one-way communication, but we also have to realize God's speaking to us in prayer as well. Sometimes he's convicting us of sin. Sometimes he's bringing somebody else to our hearts and minds that we want to be praying for. Sometimes you're just using those times to comfort, convict, correct. I mean,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even and also, you know, with our Bibles open is, I think they call that confessional prayer, not in the sense of confessing sins, but praying back to God what God says about Himself.
Sure.
You know, that's just lovely. You know, yeah. To do that, I just, because you know it's right on the money.
Right. Right. Yeah, you can't mess that one up.
Yeah. Right. So
I find this remarkable thing that happens that when I open the Word, like there'll be times where I'll just open the Word and read. And then there are times when I actually think, oh, I should pray before I do this. And I find a remarkable difference that, mm-hmm. you know, when I pray before opening the Word and just asking God to help give me understanding, help me to see things that are true and right and, you know, what He wants. It makes a difference in reading the Word.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a simple prayer. Even people can pray before they come to church. Right?
What?
Right. Yeah. I think it's because I think you want to be prepared for worship to come. God, and you know, I'm praying today. This is, would you speak through the pastor? Would you use the Word? I mean, just all those things. I think sometimes we just kind of show up and
sure,
we kind of leave expect. That aspect to it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you guys have kind of covered the spectrum of the things that we can expect. And actually, that kind of leads us into the next question. So, when we pray, what things are we assured of when we pray, whether or not we see or feel them? What things are we assured of?
Oh, I think we already said the one that God hears us.
Yeah. God hears us.
God hears. Okay.
That's one.
And He answers.
And He answers.
Yep, that He answers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that His will be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, again, I think Jesus' example, you mentioned it already, but, you know, we pray, this is what I would like to see, God, but ultimately, we want to see His will done, and it will be. And I, mm-hmm. but His will is better than ours, even though
yep.
we might argue with that at times. Right. That's the reality. So that's a comfort.
And we're being obedient because He has, you know, commanded us to pray, right?
Yeah.
And we don't want to, you know, you began the discussion, Brent, about, you know, the way that we tend to box prayer up as a duty. And then you talked about the blessing that there is, but it can be both. You know, we
yeah.
can have you know, exercise it as a duty and still expect that that we're going to have that beautiful communion with God.
Sure. Well, I think there are times where we, you know, maybe we're not feeling it, and we just have to say, I'm going to pray right now when I don't want to.
Right.
Right. And that's, you know, the duty, like I got to do this,
right.
and hopefully that's not every time, but like sometimes we got to fight through that.
And honesty in prayer is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. As well.
Oh, it is.
Especially with shepherds, though. We had mentioned that earlier. Like part of our job as elders, overseers, whatever, are one of our main things that we should be committing ourselves to for the flock is prayer.
Right.
Spurgeon says, no man can do to me a truer kindness in this world than to pray for me. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ways that we can most love the people that God has given us and shepherd right. them is just by constantly taking them to Him. Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
No greater kindness than that.
So, and that's true for all of us.
It's everyone.
Particularly true. I mean, you see it. You know, with the in your ministry as shepherds, but it's also true of the other people in our lives that there's nothing better. I mean, yeah. we say that, but do we really believe that?
Yeah, if we want right. to gossip there's about people, let's do it with Him. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, oftentimes our prayers seem so inadequate, right?
I don't think they just seem, but they are.
They are.
They are inadequate.
Right, right. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Yeah. And we struggle with mixed motives, with selfishness and impatience, and are inclined to give up. So what does the Bible say about our imperfect prayers?
That's the hard part. You just talked about honesty in prayer, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't even know if I'm hardly ever honest in prayer. I think I am sometimes, but yeah. there's so much. I'm so steeped in... Mm-hmm. And dishonesty.
We're a mixed right. bag.
And I forget, like, oh, He sees through all that. Like, this is all, right. like nothing here. You know what I mean? But I still, I don't know how to, like, be completely honest with Him. I don't know. There's always...
But I love even that, you know, when we're frustrated...
But I do, or, I know
when
you're
we're
saying.
Frustrated about something or we don't agree with what God's doing or whatever, I mean, we can be honest things
right.
and let Him know, and He understands.
He can handle it. Totally.
He remembers that we're butt
dust.
Yeah,
totally.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, with the inadequacies, though, of selfishness, praying for selfish things, yeah. right, our wish list or whatever, and our impatience with the whole process, we can be inclined to give up. But what does the Bible say about our imperfect prayers? Because they are imperfect. yeah. So if they're imperfect and they're going to a perfect God, I mean, that, isn't that kind of another dissonance? You know, you kind of, well, this sure. this ain't going to make it.
They get cleaned right? up. It's kind of they kind of go through a car wash on the way. So you're, you know what I mean? Like the Holy Spirit's yeah. kind of like, all right, hang on, buddy. Like let me, you know, and he dusts yeah, something right. off.
A
right.
decoder.
You know, let me wipe that and edit that. And
sincere editing.
Goes through
on.
A decoding machine on the way up. Yeah.
You know, the way that one of the Puritan guys that I, dead white guys that I, Red put it like this: there is the assurance that when our prayers go up, that they are perfumed by our Lord go. Jesus.
Yeah, it's good.
Sweet smelling that. Fragrance. Is that what?
I love that. You know, when he adds this perfume to it, those imperfect, childlike babblings, sometimes selfish, yeah. and you know. Very imperfect prayers on their own
yeah.
are made perfect by Jesus.
Yeah, this isn't that wonderful? Isn't necessarily about prayer, but Solomon talks about that God draws straight with that which is crooked.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he somehow works out, you know, in the mix. Our prayers are imperfect and yep. selfish and inadequate, but somehow he hears them and somehow he draws straight with that which is crooked.
And we have that idea in Romans 8, right, of yeah. the Spirit doing
yeah.
that, of
yeah.
Cleaning up, making additions,
yeah,
right, straightening the crooked, you know, in the ways that we just yeah. don't know how to straighten them ourselves.
And what, you know what I mean? Scripture are you talking about in Romans 8 for where that process is happening?
Well, where he intercedes, you know, on our behalf, even when we don't know what to mm-hmm. say. But I think it assumes also that even when we do know what to say and it's contrary.
Strike that from
I'll
the record.
That in yeah.
When you think about too, like in the book of Revelation, it talks about the prayers of the saints and what they mean to God. I mean, there's a sense where he values our prayers.
Sure.
You know, and the way that he values, I think, is greater than we probably realize, you know.
Right.
And I think just what he just wants us to be in communication with him. Mm-hmm. It's like a dad, I mean, right? We
yeah.
sure. we hear from our kids. I mean, I think that's different for God. I think he wants to. And, you know, you think about that with our kids, like how many times they ask about something, we're like, I'm not sure what you're saying.
Totally.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah. oh, yeah, I get it now. You know, it's like God does that for us, I think.
Packer says the prayer of a Christian is not an attempt to force God's hand, but a humble acknowledgement of helplessness and dependence. And I think yep. I think God does enjoy being in that fatherly yeah. position where we are helpless and dependent.
Well, and to again, I think what Jeff was referencing is in Revelation where it says that the golden bowl, which contained the prayers of the saints,
yeah, incense,
God
yeah.
puts them in a golden bowl. I mean, that's and it's in yeah. the throne room.
That's right? not right? nothing.
Which yeah, is yeah. the perfume which you talked about earlier, yeah. right?
When my daughter
good
was
smell,
a good smell. When my daughter was little, growing up, she'd draw me these pictures all the time. Sometimes they had scriptures on them, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they were good, sometimes they weren't so good or anything like that. And that, you know, went on for years and years, and I would paper them around my office. And when I moved over here, I had to skinny down because I had two pole barns and, you know, all kinds of storage stuff. And I moved over here to a house that had a two-car garage, that's it. And very little storage. So I was just tossing out. And here not too long ago, I ran across this box. And I opened it up, and it had all of those from all the way back to the time that she was like two or three. Because they're precious to me. And I thought about that. That's the way our prayers are before God.
Yep.
And that ought to grab our
yeah.
hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? Okay. Something about to... you guys have all quoted Spurgeon and C.S. Lewis. I've got a quote that I'd like to that I think helps us to put prayer in its maybe eternal perspective. And he says this: we have long since agreed that if our prayers are granted at all, they are granted from the foundation of the world. God and his acts are not in time. intercourse between God and man occurs at particular moments for the man, but not for God.
Yeah. It's good.
Wow. That'll preach.
Yeah. And then my final Spurgeon quote is, he who knows how to overcome with God and prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal.
Hmm. Yeah, it's good.
So, concluding thoughts?
Well, when I think about a mark of a healthy church, prayer being one of them, I hope that, you know, we've created cultures of prayer within the church. That's part of why we do the praise and prayer time every week. Yep. And hopefully, and I see it happening a lot. I think we try to model this, and I hope people are doing it, that as things come up relationally right in the church, that we're stopping and we're praying for those things right then and there, that that's just a normal kind of an occurrence. Like we talked about already, there's like when somebody stops to pray for you, it's pretty amazing, you know, to have that happen.
Yeah.
And I hope that we already talked about, you know, praying for the church, praying for the ministry, praying for the pastors. There's a great Ian Bounds quote that I love.
Here we go.
if the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
There you go.
Because we know that we, gosh, we desperately need the prayers of the people. And for
you don't our, like you know, the pastor pray for.
Well, I mean, just you know, they got three not to like, so they got right. they got three times as much praying to do here. But I you know I know that the reason this church has continued on, and the reason that we've continued on is largely because we've had people holding us up in prayer and sustaining us through it. So that means a lot, and praying for our families too, because there's just so many guys that are dropping like flies around us right now, and families that are falling apart, and knowing that we've got people praying for us is huge. So thank you.
Yeah. I can't remember who said it, but somebody once said that I find it an oddity that when I pray, coincidences happen.
Yeah,
right.
Right? Dan something. Yeah. I saw that this week.
You like imagine that. Says
the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Just going back to the idea that like God hears us and God moves, right?
And part of it, and I don't know how much we hit on this, but in regards to that, I think a lot of the coincidences, a lot of what happens through prayer, like we already said, is stuff that really happens with us,
right?
More than God. And so when we are praying about things, we tend to then pay more attention to things, right, and are more apt to watch God work. It's not that he's not working otherwise. It's that we're more in tune and expectant
100%
of him doing what he does, because we're relying on him for those things. And so it's amazing how, like we said, prayer changes us.
Yep.
And that's part of how it changes things. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Give me a Kleenex.
So,
is this going to be the final trumpet?
Thank you. Last trump.
Just get right there in the mic when you do this.
So maybe, any concluding thoughts, Pastor Jeff?
No, I think prayer is such a powerful thing that we often take for granted, and I think we've got to take more advantage of it. And I'd say to those that struggle to pray, just keep at it.
Keep struggling.
Glad you made it partway through, Jeff.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Glad you were going to be wearing a crown.
No, I got it.
Oh.
It's in my mouth.
Oh.
he threw it back.
Cast it down.
Right. So, Pastor Jeff, would you like to pray us out?
Yeah.
Because we're done here. We're all out of bullets, I think.
Father, thank you for the privilege to pray, and thank you that we can come to you all the time, that you never turn us away, and you're always faithful to listen and hear our prayers. And thank you for the ways you answer them, even in times, Lord, when we don't understand, and times when we don't like the answer, that we know it's part of your purpose and your plan, your will. And so, Lord, we're thankful that you sustain us and you sustain our churches through prayer, and that you've keep them faithful in that, Lord. Help us to continue to be faithful to you and prayer, and Lord, in reading your word and listening, and just thankful for the privilege to come together today and to pray and to talk about prayer, and just encourage us in that. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.